Hello, hello. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Daughter Podcast, a place that is dedicated to the total wellness of the total woman. My name is Samantha Grimes, and I am a certified life coach and Christian counselor, and I am the CEO of Samantha Grimes Life Solutions, LLC, a wellness company that offers a wide variety of coaching and counseling services. If you are interested in one-on-one or group services, please head to our website, www.sgls.info. Once again, that's www.sgls.info, and we look forward to working with you. All right, family, if you see me looking any type of weird way, I'm looking at my notes on the screen to help us keep on track for this podcast episode. And I have decided that I'm going to just rearrange things. If you listen to the first few episodes, I share some goodies at the end, but I decided that I am rearranging it and sharing our goodies early on, giving you guys a little bit of housekeeping things just so that, you know, we end our podcast. And I don't want you to miss out on this really, really, really golden information. Okay. All right. So, number one, I want to come out the gate and just say, listen, if you love this podcast and if it's your first time listening, I believe that you will fall madly in love with this podcast. So you need to join our membership community. Yes, we have our own inner circle, our own membership community. And listen, the podcast is kind of what it is, kind of the jump off point, but it's an inner community for daughters. Let me just inner circle for daughters. Let me clarify that. Because I don't want you to feel like, well, if I don't listen to the podcast every single day, all day, if I don't catch every single episode, that I'm not going to be able to really enjoy the group. And that's just not the case. It is a sisterhood of women coming together, growing in our daughterhood, in our mindset, identity, development, healing, restoration, all of the things, all of the way. Okay. And so this inner circle, it is completely virtual. It doesn't matter what city or what state that you live in. You can be a part of this. And so we do live Q&As around the podcast episodes. So that's the thing. But we also do live Bible studies, live lessons. Okay. As well as group coaching, within a month's period. And it's only $40 a month. I know many of us pay more money for our streaming services or pay more money in gas. And so this is just one of those things. It's very affordable and it's just for you. Like God had this in mind for you and I don't want to see you miss it. I don't want to see you get worried about the wrong thing. I want you a part of this. Listen, growing in anything with a community, growing in anything with teaching, with sunlight, with water, with attention, anything can grow from that, right? So another thing that I want to share with you guys is that I've written two books. One of the days I'm going to bring my books with me and just show them on the screen. But I've written two books. The first one is called Feel So Good to Be Loved, 21 Days of Discovering the Authentic Love of God. Family, listen to me. This book right here, the amount of testimonies I've gotten from this book is insane. I'm still getting it. And I wrote the book, what, a year ago, 2 years ago now? My goodness. Either way, it's an incredible read. It is a devotional and each day is a chapter and it's 21 days. And after each day, there are 3 to 4 questions behind that really it's not just sum up what you've just read, but really are triggering questions that really help you dig into the aspects of prayer that maybe you didn't think about, help your think about things and consider things that you didn't originally consider or think about. And it helps you really overall doing the inner self work to really help you get into a position to receive the love of God. So many of us believe that we got it in the bag. And then you read something like this and realize I haven't even begun and my life hasn't even begun to experience what it could experience by having this revelation, by living this way, by really getting in a posture to receive. Listen, the power in our life is not in how much we love God, but it is in the revelation of how much God loves us. Okay. And my second book is Significant, slaying the demon of low self-esteem and stepping back into your day one significance. Listen, sometimes when we're trying to come out of something like low self-esteem, we don't understand what are our trigger points. What are the things that cause us to remain? What are the truths that we need to hear that will begin to break us out of a mindset into a place of freedom and identity and clarity and truth? And this book is doing it, okay? Each chapter specifically hits on some truths. It shows you where your part is. And then most of all, it shows you where God's part is, how to partner with him, and how to really step into a new place that you're not working for, but that you got it on the day that you were born. It's an awesome read. So both of these books are available on Amazon.com and Kindle. Okay. Once again, that's Feels So Good to Be Loved, 21 Days of Discovering the Authentic Love of God and Significance, Slaying the Demon of Low Self-Esteem and Stepping Back into Your Day One Significance, as well as Family, book a session with me. My God. Listen, this podcast is an extension of my company. It is Samantha Grimes Life Solutions LLC. It is a coaching and counseling practice, as well as a wellness company. We are dedicated to the total wellness of the total woman. That's in this podcast. That's on my YouTube channel. That's on our Instagram. That's on everything that we put out, we produce, because that is our heart posture. We want to see you, the restored version of you, the healed version of you, the developed, the mature, the woman that has broken free. We want to support you and help you get there and do that. And something that is so vital to that is talking to someone. When it comes to the coaching side of the business, when it comes to, we do career coaching, we help you launch your ministry or your business. We help you in so many different areas when it comes to really getting a control and taking authority over your life, walking in dominion when it comes to your life, as well as one-on-one Christian counseling. We're dealing with your inner demons. We're dealing with getting you out of you. We're dealing with childhood trauma. We're dealing with your mindset. We're dealing with your heart posture. And we are a people that believe in healing. We are a people that believe in deliverance. We are a people that believes that you're not just going to a session to be diagnosed, but you're going to a session to get the strategy and the partnership and the support to be healed and to come through, that by the end of 6 months, by the end of a year, by the end of 2 years, you are a different woman, and we want to be a part of that. And so listen, head to our website once again at www.sgls.info and listen, book a free, absolutely free consultation with us today. Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to say yes again. Yes. That's all you need to hear in your spirit is the yes. You need to move forward. Yes, you need to do it. Yes, do not worry about all of the incidentals. It will work itself out. We do virtual sessions as well as we have a physical location here in Huntsville, Alabama. And so you can easily come in for one-on-ones if you want a physical location, but we also do virtual if you live out of state. Honey, we're going to make it work. Okay. But do not miss out on this beautiful opportunity. I don't believe you listen to this podcast by happenstance. I don't believe this is an accident. I don't. I believe that the Lord has divine timing and a divine way to get you where you're supposed to be. And I believe that this is it. So once again, head to our website, book a free consultation. Or if you already know you want to book, then head to our website and book a service, book a session, and I will get back with you within 24 to 48 hours. So family, I'm going to minimize this for a second. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to open up with prayer. Okay. And then we're going to get into today's fabulous, big, beautiful, wonderful topic. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so very much. You are everything, God, and you are everything to us. God, you're wonderful. You're lovely. You're faithful. You're great. You're big. You're strong. You're the Ancient of Days. You're the great I Am. You're the great Amen. You're perfect in all of your ways, beautiful in all of your ways, righteous in all of your ways. God's absolutely stunning in all of your ways. Father, you're the only one that completes us. You're the only one that comforts us. You're the only one that satisfies. You're the only one who makes us, God, worthy, who makes us real. And Father, right now, we just invite the Holy Spirit even the more into this podcast episode. We know, Holy Ghost, you're already with us. You're on the inside of us, but we invite you even the more. We acknowledge you in all of our ways so that you may lead and direct our path. So right now, Holy Spirit, Father God, Lord, we pray, Father, right now that you would lead us in this podcast episode, that we may go where you want us to go, catch the revelation, catch the truth you want us to receive, and land where you would have us to land, Father. Lord, I submit to you my notes. I submit to you everything that I think that I have going on, and I make it now your jurisdiction, that you may take the lead, that you may take the charge, Father. And that, Father, we may, God, that you may use me however you see fit to minister and to speak to and to heal and to ignite the fire on the inside, Father, of your daughter. I pray let every woman that is listening to this, Father God, have be mind be renewed, heart be set ablaze, Father God, perspective be transformed, Father God, be restored. I just decree and declare that be restored right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it now, Father God. I thank you that you're going to get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, and that we were going to come back into the greater revelation that we are the beloved of Jesus Christ. We love you, we honor you, and we thank you for it now, Daddy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So this topic was very specific. I was in my kitchen. I was cooking breakfast at the time, and I had the thought like, oh Lord, what do you want the next episode on our podcast show to be? And I heard him so clear. He said, after the storm. I said, my God, that was a very churchy moment I had with the Lord. And the Lord is not often, you know, coming at me like that. But when I heard it, I was just like, now that's churchy, but it's probably going to be so good. So that's what we're starting with, is after the storm. Let me give you guys a little bit of recap this is the first episode that you have listened to on this podcast. The season of this podcast, season one, is called Begin Again. Okay. Begin Again. And so these episodes are really digging into the reality of different areas of our life that we have to start from scratch. Again, you know, oftentimes many people go through midlife crisis. They have identity crisis. They have the different crisis, career crisis, different types of crisis throughout their life, because sometimes we can get so comfortable in a different way, in a particular way or a particular flow. And then something shifts, the season shifts, the tide turns, and you now have to begin something all over again. And many times we don't do change very well. And we don't feel confident or just know how to begin something again. And so that's the focus of this season. And we're talking about after the storm. After the storm, the Bible tells us that trials and tribulations is something that we are going to experience. As a matter of fact, trials and tribulations is something that is ordained by God. Okay. Not your devil. All right. Not saying that the devil doesn't try things, but what I am saying is God has ordained trials and tribulations. The Bible says that God works all things together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so what he is saying is this: God has ordained some things in your life that are going to shape you, mold you, mature you, chisel you, refine you, polish you. He's in the business of all of that. Okay. And so one thing that is big in that is that what do we do after the storm? So many of you people, you know, talk about in church, pastors, leaders, sermons, songs, gospel songs are talking about the storm and how to get through and how to just stand, you know, how to do that. You know what I mean? But when it's over, I don't know if we come out of it well. I don't know if we know how to begin life not in consideration of the storm, of the trial we just been through, of the hard season or the hard thing that we just went through. But let's start here. I want to share my birth story. So well, my second birth story. I have two different birth stories. I'll tell you the first one of my first child another time, but this one, there's not too many hurdles. Recently, about a year ago, I had a little boy named Josiah Michael Grimes. He is, Jesus, I adore him. He is one of the, he is a joy of my life. He, outside of Jesus and my husband, he is, you know, he is all of that and a bag of chips to me, you know. And one thing I love about our children is that we don't love our children the same. There's a quote in a book by Lisa Bevere that talks about not just being loved, but being uniquely loved. I even quoted her in my first book, Feel So Good to Be Loved. Yeah. Feel So Good to Be Loved. And she talked about, giving her the revelation that we're not just loved by him, but we're uniquely loved, meaning that he doesn't love anybody in the world the way that he loves you. And I know that we hear things like, you know, God loves everybody. He loves all of us. He does, but he does not love all of us the same. That does not mean that he loves somebody more than you. And that does not mean that he loves somebody less than you. But actually, that implies that he doesn't love anybody the way that he loves you. And I knew this to be a true revelation when I had children, because I had my daughter, and many people say, you know, when you have your first child, you wonder, how can I ever love somebody as much as I love this child? And then I had another child, and I come into the revelation that my heart can grow. And I don't love Gabriella the way I love Josiah. And I don't love Josiah the way that I love Gabriella. And they never have to compete. And there is no comparison. It is a love that is unique just to them. And it gives me a small taste of understanding of how God loves us. Like, man, God loves me in a way that he can only love me. And he loves you in a way that he can only love you. And in that love, I had a little boy. Okay. And I had a wonderful pregnancy. And one thing, you know, each pregnancy teaches you new things to pray about, because you did not know you even needed to cover that. Okay. My first child, I have one daughter, but my first child was my daughter, and I had a wonderful pregnancy, but there were certain things I didn't know I needed to surrender or ask the Lord about, or that I would experience, because it was my first child, you know, you don't know. So when I found out I was having another baby, I said, okay, God, these are the things in my pregnancy that I would rather not deal with the second time around. And so, I didn't. God was faithful. I asked him and he was faithful to me. And so I had my second child, my son, Josiah, and it was a beautiful pregnancy. And then it was time to give birth to my son, and I had a great birth. Let me just give you that disclaimer before I tell you the story, but it was a great birth. But I get to the hospital, and this is what happened. I had a day that I was scheduled. Anybody that's ever had kids know that they have your due date, or the day that they believe that your kid's going to come. And so they had already scheduled me. I had to have two C-sections, one with my daughter, one with my son. And so this C-section was already scheduled. They were like, you know what, we're going to go ahead and have it set up at, you know, 39 weeks. You know, the optimal time a baby can be in the womb is 40. So they did it a week early. Boom. Baby would come out fully formed, fully healthy, fully, you know, everything. And I wasn't supposed to go to the hospital until the next day, right? So day before, I'm at the store and I'm doing the things that new mommies do, right? You are prepping your home and your life for a new baby and to actually be in the hospital for a period of days and all of that. So I'm packing up groceries for my daughter. I am at the store getting things that I know I would need because I'm going to be in the hospital and all of that. And I remember I was having pain, but anybody knows I've had kids, you can have slight contractions days before, but it was nothing crazy to where you need to go to the hospital. It would be a waste of a hospital bill if you went. So I had slight little pains here and there, little contractions, nothing intense. But as the night got closer to the evening, the contractions started getting closer and closer together. And I remember I got home and I wasn't done packing. I needed to wash two more shirts. Mind you guys, this is just overthinking, because I was at a hospital gown most of that time, or some pajamas. I don't know why I'm washing all these clothes, but it was just me trying to be prepared. So I'm washing two more shirts to pack up. I want to make sure that I have my toiletries. I want to make sure I have my soap, not hospital soap, you know, the whole thing. And my husband, I'm contracting real bad. My husband's taking care of our daughter. And I'm struggling. Like, man, like, babe, I'm really struggling. I'm telling him. He's like, well, Smith, why don't you just lay down and be done for the night? And I was like, no, I'm not done. He's like, what else do you need to do? What else do you need to do? Because ain't much, you know, when husbands pack for the hospital, they don't need a lot. Men don't need a lot. It's us. We need all the things. Okay. And so he's like, you know what? I'll finish for you. Okay. And I folded up and I put it away. And you gonna lay down. So I remember I laid down and I was really feeling my contractions. I was gonna take a hot bath and I didn't even have the energy to cut the water on. At this point, my son is like low, because you know, when he gets close to delivery time, the baby's already in position. So I'm carrying my own lady parts around the house because my son is already in position to come out. So I remember I got in the bed with my husband, turn the lights out, time to go to sleep, and the contractions kick up. And I said, Boy, don't you do it. I'm telling him in my head, don't you do it, son. Don't you do it. Because I'm scheduled to go have the baby in the morning. My doctor will be there. Everything is planned for me, right? Ahead of time. And so, but it's looking like my son is going to come 24 hours early than when what we planned, what was scheduled. And so finally the contractions got too close together, and I asked my husband, like, do you think we should go to the hospital now? I don't want to get there and they make us wait, and I was already going to come in the morning and it was just a waste of time and I could have got some sleep before, you know. And he said he heard the Lord say, go to the hospital. So we packed, we took our bags, we took them to the hospital. We get there and I get in the room, they look at me, they check, and they said, ma'am, you're not going home tonight. Sure enough, I am in labor, and I just cannot believe I'm like, I was coming in. JoJo, baby, we could have waited. Like, it was, you just had a few hours before, you know, everything was scheduled, but it's fine. You know, I got over my way with my daughter because my daughter came exceptionally early. And, you know, they have dates that they plan, but children decide when they want to come. Okay. And so I get to the hospital. I go through this process. God is so faithful. I asked God for an anointed, saved doctor to deliver my baby. I asked God for angels to be in the room with the women, that were, the nurses and people that were going to be in the room with me. And sure enough, I started to contract. Now, anybody knows that when you're supposed to have a C-section, they don't want you to go too far in your process because the baby could come out and there's a reason you don't have the baby the traditional way. So I started to contract. I contracted pretty heavy with my daughter, but it wasn't as heavy as with my son because I was there at the hospital a little longer in contraction mode with my son. My daughter had a completely different story. I'll tell you that another day. But either way, I had the contractions. They were coming really strong to the point where, y'all, I am loud in this hospital. And I'm over here apologizing because, you know, some things, in my opinion, can just be a little annoying. So I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Cause I am loud because these contractions are getting, you know, intense, worse pain. And they're over here looking at me. One nurse said, ma'am, you are in labor. You do not need to apologize to us. If anything, I'm probably calmer than maybe other mothers that they have experienced, you know, having a baby. They gave me morphine, y'all. The morphine didn't do anything. It was like giving me Tylenol. Like, it, that's how you know birth is so supernatural. Like, you know, my body is going to alarm me that a baby is coming. Okay. And so finally, that what the issue was, they didn't want me, I wasn't scheduled yet to the next morning. So they're supposed to leave the OR open in case of an emergency, somebody gets shot and they got to have surgery and they come in and you know what I mean? And I remember she walked up to me and she was just like, you know what? We're just going to have faith that nobody's going to come in between the next few hours because, ma'am, we're about to have this baby. And I remember just hearing her talk about faith. I mean, she was just saying so many like kingdom things. And then I looked down and she had this big cross around her neck. And I was like, okay, God, I see you. You caused me to go into labor early. You caused me to go into labor early because this is the doctor you've ordained. And when I say I had the best nurses, somebody could have. It showed me that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man still availeth much. Okay. Because I mean, I had the best nurses in the room with me. I mean, and they are so encouraging and they're speaking life and they're so attentive when they put that little needle in your back so that everything becomes numb, you know, for the C-section. I had to be awake for it. I wasn't awake for my daughters, but I had to be awake for my sons. And I was not excited about that because that's just weird for me. But they made me feel so comfortable. They were so like, hey, you know, I mean, they kept asking me, though, tell me about your son. What did you name him? What are your plans for him? You know, and, you know, just the sweetest nurses. And then I'm down. I'm having a C-section. It's not fun. I'm just going to keep it real with y'all. It's not fun. Not because it was a bad C-section. It's just a C-section. I'm awake and it's just uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean? And anybody's ever had one, you don't feel any pain, but you feel everything. Okay. It's not feelingless. You just don't feel any pain. That's the thing. So I'm not in any pain, but my God, I wanted it to be over. I mean, I was just like, the highlight for me, obviously, is when they pull the baby out and they lift him up so high so that you could be the first person to lay your eyes on the child. And I saw my son and y'all might go cry on this podcast episode, but I will never forget that day. When you have your kids, it's like, I will never forget the day that you were born. And I remember, I saw them, the little tray where they weigh the baby was right next to my head. So they put the baby in there and he's crying and he's all balled up and he is the cutest thing I have ever seen. And my husband was there he is smiling like, oh my goodness, you're real. Like, you know, for 9 months, you know, the baby's real. You feel him kick. But when it's a person, you're like, oh my gosh, he's real, you know. And we had the baby and then I had to lay there for longer because they have to sew up layers and layers and layers before, you know, it's just, it's exhausting. And you're not doing anything. You're not doing any work, but it is the most exhausting thing. And so when it's over, I remember I'm high as a kite, people of God. I am high as a kite on drugs. They gave me so much drugs while I was in there and so much IV that I could not see straight for like the rest of the night. Like everything was cross-eyed. Like I thought I went blind. They told me, no, it's just the high intensity of drugs we had to give you to get through the process. And so I'm cross-eyed. So they're talking to me and I don't know who's talking to me because things are cross-eyed and they're asking me questions. Are you bottle? Are you breast? What do you want to do? They're handing me my baby, want me to hold him. I can barely see him. Like once I was up out of the room, it was like, I went from being able to see him to going cross-eyed. So I couldn't see him. But I was like, son, no, I love you. I'm with you up there, I promise. I was so not there, you know what I mean? They made my husband wait downstairs in the room I'm going to be in and all of that. So I said all of that, this juicy long story about my son's birth, for what purpose? Guys, it was intense. Even though it was beautiful and even though it was purposeful and even though I would do it for him, again, in a heartbeat. I do it for my daughter again in a heartbeat. They are the best thing that's ever happened to me outside of Jesus and my man. But you guys, it was intense. It was stressful at points. I felt real pain. Like, you know what I'm saying? I had a baby. It is the closest a human can get to death. There was a 50% chance of death every time you have a baby. But in Jesus' name, whoever is listening to this, when you have your baby, you will be alive. Okay. You will live and not die. Amen. But either way, it is intense. It was the worst pain of, and it's so weird. I can't remember it. Like, I just know it was the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. That's the beauty. And the Bible says a mother cannot remember, you know, the sorrow once the joy of her child. That is a true scripture. Because as much as I know it was the worst pain of my life, I can't make my mind reciprocate it. I just know in the moment, it was the worst pain I had ever experienced in my life. And I got to a very high, high level of contractions. They didn't cut it off and go right into the C-section. I had to labor for a long time before I got on the hospital table. And any C-section is no joke. Like, the recovery period, even if it's not long, it's a recovery. My husband had to do everything for me for like the first 2 weeks because I just had a C-section. Like, standing, anything is incredibly painful. And with all of that said, it was a good birth. Like, when it comes to the scale of what a good birth is in America, it was a great pregnancy, great birth. I healed exceptionally well. I remember I went to the doctor and that final check appointment where they have to check your incision and make sure it's healing well before they release you to do things. And I remember that the nurse was just so complimentary about how well I was healing. I didn't have any swelling. Like, God was good to me, y'all. Like, this is the power of prayer. Okay. I want to tell y'all, you can ask God for what you want. Don't just accept anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Believe that you have received it and it shall be yours. Okay. That is the word of God. It was great. And it was traumatic at the same time. It was an ordained trauma. Like, anytime you can have a perfect pregnancy, a perfect delivery, a perfect healing, like everything can work in your favor. And it is still the most intense thing you've ever experienced in your life. Period. The most intense thing you have ever experienced in your life. Regardless of how good it was an intense season of my life. So I remember after I had the baby, I thank God neither one of my children, I had postpartum depression, y'all. But I warred against these things before I got pregnant. And during my pregnancy, I was very adamant with God about what I wanted and what I didn't want. And I was not going to receive no postpartum depression. You know, if you experience that, this is not any shade to your experience. If anything, let this be an encouragement that you can believe God for something different. Let me be a faith example for you. But I remember I wasn't okay after I had my baby. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't sad. Nothing was wrong. But I did feel a little, like, almost off balance a little bit. So I remember I went into prayer just seeking the Lord. And the Lord was very transparent with me. Like, Samantha, birth is hard. Even if it's good. So you need to let yourself be restored after doing something so traumatic. Even if you're not depressed, even if you're not sad, even if you're not, nothing is wrong, even if you're fully okay, you gotta let yourself come back. You gotta let yourself, it was a high stakes situation. It's like being in a shootout and you didn't get killed, you didn't get nicked, God, your life was completely saved. But afterwards, you need to like come down from the intensity of being in a shootout. Okay. And so that's the major point of this podcast episode, is that I really wanna drive home for you. Many of you have been through intense storms, several trials, tribulations, and storms throughout your life. Some of you had children. Some of you have lost a family member or a loved one. Some of you have been through intense breakups. Some of you have just been in seasons where God was building your faith. He was testing you. The enemy was trying it. Attacks. Some of you have experienced your slander, all type of things. And even though God kept you, and even though it didn't work, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and da 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 da, you have never let yourself come down from that season. You have never given yourself time. Okay. You have never given yourself maternity leave. And I don't mean maternity leave as in you're not at work. I mean mentally a break, emotionally a break. You've never given that to yourself. This episode is all the way in on what do I do after the storm? So many of you are living your life in reaction to a storm that happened 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. You are living your life in response to a storm. That storm, not only that storm is over, that particular storm is never going to enter your life again. It's going to be some other things that God is working in your life. Other things the enemy has to try because God won in that previous season. And you've never given yourself a chance. The first thing I want to hit on is, how do I come back after a storm, after a difficult season, after intense anything? The first thing is, you have to begin the process of reacclimating yourself in identity. Reacclimating yourself in identity. I'll use my birth story as an example. Everything was about being a mommy my entire pregnancy. I remember during for pregnancy with my son, not only was I running my business that you can see, I also was in business school. Now the people running it didn't know I was pregnant. I got pregnant while I was in the middle of business school. So they had no idea. And so the simple things like, yeah, it's already a 10-page paper that I have to turn in, but it was way more intense for me because I'm writing a 10-page paper nauseous and so exhausted I can't get off the floor. Like, I wish I was being dramatic. I wish I was fabricating, but I'm not. There were so many moments my husband had to just hold my hand and pray over me while I'm writing this paper. While I'm in a class and they want you on camera during the class, and they don't know that, like, my eyes keep closing while they're talking, and the only thing I've been able to keep down all day has been noodle soup. Not even chicken noodle soup. I'm vegetarian, so it was just noodle soup. Noodle soup, noodle soup, noodle soup. The baby wouldn't take nothing else for like a week. It was crazy. So after all of that, okay, it was intense. And so everything was about being a mommy. And then I had the baby. And then after having the baby, now I have to go back to work. Don't get me wrong, I didn't have a difficult time going back to work, but I understood that being a mommy was not all that I am. And it is important to reacclimate myself in the identity of who I am foundationally in Christ Jesus and all the other aspects of my life. Yeah, I'm a mommy, but I'm a wife. Yeah, I'm a mommy, but I'm a businesswoman. Yeah, I'm a mommy, but I'm somebody's senior pastor. Yeah, I'm a mommy, but I'm a prophet. Yeah, I'm a mommy, but I'm a son. You know what I mean? Like, I know all of those things, but some of you, it's like you want something to just click back on for you. And it's not happening immediately. Not because something is wrong with you, not because there's an issue with you. And I'm not saying that postpartum depression and all that kind of stuff is not real. It is. But what I am saying is, sometimes you need to be reacclimated with what you already know. If you have this mindset of, I know that, you will never allow God to do what it is that He wants to do in your life. The closer I get to God, the more I need to hear the truth. The closer I get to God, the more I need to be reminded of the fundamentals, because there's nothing elementary about the gospel, but I need to be reminded about the fundamentals. I need that more and more and more and more and more in Jesus some more. Okay. And so how do I reacclimate myself into identity? The word of God and the presence of God. Some of you during your postpartum period, yeah, you weren't at work, but you weren't able to get much prayer in or scripture study. You were sleep deprived. You were nursing. I nursed both my children. You were sleep deprived. You were nursing. All of that was happening. And so you weren't getting a lot of one-on-one time with the Lord. And even if you are, it maybe not have been what you feel like was the best amount of time because you just had a baby. So you have sleep. Or maybe the previous season you had was so intense that you don't like the intensity of prayer. You don't like the intensity of the spirit realm, because what you just experienced, your mind is tired. Your body is tired. Y'all, there is a concept in prayer where you don't talk. I don't know, somebody gave this message out to the world that prayer is a conversation with God. You know, there's conversations where there's no words. There are conversations where maybe the other person is carrying the weight of the conversation. God understands that you're in a season where talking is a lot. So you need to just sit in His presence and let Him talk to you. Let Him love on you. Let Him remind you of who you are. This storm attacked maybe an aspect of your identity. This storm shook your faith in such a crazy way that now that it's over, you just need to just listen. You're not warring and rebuking the devil every 5 seconds. At this point, you're just letting yourself be poured into, letting yourself be loved. One of the greatest things you can ever do for yourself is to let yourself be loved. Some of you have a hard time loving yourself and loving others because you have never let yourself be loved. Like that, you don't understand how much strength and identity and confidence and fruit is birthed from that place. I just need to sit in the presence of God and I just need to be loved. I need to be loved. I knew after I had both of my kids, I just needed to be loved. Yes, all my love, I'm pouring it out on this new baby. And I have two kids, so now I'm pouring out on a new baby. And I'm also trying to make sure that my oldest still feels like she has my attention. So there were moments where my husband just loved on me, and that's just what I needed. Or moments that God just said, I love you. I love you. You're mine. And that was everything at that moment because I'm tired and my prayers are not as eloquent. And some of you, you've been through hard seasons and your prayers are not as eloquent and your mind feels tired and you need the Spirit of God to pray for you. That's the beauty of our prayer language. You know what I mean? There are times where, God, I don't have the words, but you do. Getting in the Word of God, like not necessarily feel like you need to read 10 chapters a day. Man, you've been on the same two verses for the past week and just meditating on those verses, eating on those verses, letting those verses renew your mind, letting those verses be written on the tablet of your heart, letting those verses transform you from the inside out. That is what you are in need of. You have to reacclimate yourself into who you are again. Some of you are back at work, but you're not back. Some of you are still at church serving in different positions that you're in, but you're not there because this season was hard. And even though the enemy tried to steal something from you and he didn't, and he was unsuccessful, the fact that you experience it at all needs attention, needs like one of the greatest anointings that God gives a wife and a mother and a woman is the ability to nurture. And the world tries to downplay nurture and act like it's low level as compared to something else. But you understand every day of your life, you need to be nurtured. God's not just your father, he's your mother, and he nurtures you. In order for a plant to grow, it needs attention and nurture and love. Like there was an experiment, a lot of teenagers do it in high school as an experiment. They put music headphones on a plant. And this one girl, she put a lot of artists, very known secular artists, rock music, all kind of stuff playing around this particular plant. And the other plant, she put worship music. And the plant that had the rock music and all the other kind of stuff, the plant began to die. But the plant that had the worship music began to get stronger and stronger. They both were being watered. They both were getting sunlight. They both were getting attention. So what was the difference? One was being nurtured by the voice and the spirit and the worship of God. The other was getting trash put into itself. And this is such a real life example because plants are living creatures. One of the first thing you learn about plant life, they are living creatures. They are alive. Plants breathe. You know what I mean? So it's understanding that you have to let yourself be reacclimated into identity. Lord, tell me who I am again. Remind me who I am again. Bring me back to a place where I feel like me again. And also, hey, I need to feel like me 2.0. And when I say that, like any woman knows after you've had kids, you're not the same anymore. Like that experience has forever changed you. Your body has forever changed. Even if you snap back and you weigh the same thing, it's not about weight. Like your hip bones dislocate for birth. They retighten, but they don't go back in. Many women now have a pair of hips that they didn't have before they had kids. You know what I'm saying? Because your body has changed itself to bring life into the world, and your body has muscle memory. You're not the same person. And so you need to feel like you 2.0 Only God can bring you there. There's no amount of clothes or fashion or music or relationships that can do that for you. You know what I mean? You have to let God do that for you. And sometimes God's doing it while you're in the process of serving. You know, you still run your company. You still work your job, or you're still, you know, doing your everyday life. You're still serving at church. Let God keep you in that season while he's also taking care of you and restoring you in that season. Like self-care should be on the top of the list. And the top of the list of self-care is the presence of God. Just getting in his presence, just sitting with him, just listening to worship music, just listening, reading the scriptures that tell you who you are. Going back to Ephesians 1, like letting that take place in your life. All right. My second point is you have to let yourself find refuge after a season. Like, think about it. The Bible show, not the Bible, but there's a movie called The Titanic. And after that extremely intense situation, she did survive healthy, lived many, many years. When they put her back on the boat, they had people wrapped up in blankets and off in corners. They had to like let themselves have refuge again. Refuge. You need to get back to a place of feeling safe again. Yes, you were safe the entire season of warfare. Absolutely. God kept you. But now he wants to bring you back to a place where you feel safe again. One thing that I often find with past clients and just many people in the body of Christ, you don't know the difference between seasons of war and seasons of rest. And some of you live your life on edge of a season of war. You live your life that way. And so that's why you're always exhausted. You don't take advantage of your seasons of rest. You live your life not God conscious, but devil conscious. So when you're devil conscious, you literally live on the edge. Oh, he ain't gonna get me. He ain't gonna get me. The reason he's not gonna get you is because you have a keeper, not because you are just so ready and on edge. I'm not saying don't operate in spiritual warfare. I'm not saying don't speak with authority. I'm not saying don't rebuke the devil. I'm not saying don't take authority. None of that. But sometimes you're not in that season. You're actually in a season of rest. The Bible says that the people of God may not know the day or the hour that he returns, but we understand the times and the seasons. We're sensitive in the spirit that way. You are in a restful season. Take a break. So many of you are living your life. You're not responding to God. You're reacting to life. So many of the things that you do, it's, well, I have had to survive. You are no longer in a survival season. You are now in a thriving season, and it's time for you to live like it. But you won't let go. You won't let God be your God. The same God that kept you in the season where it was a threat is the same God that can keep you in the season where it's not a threat. Sometimes we don't understand that when we come out and we overcome and we win trials, like in boxing, when you beat the opponent that's in your weight class, they're not going to put you back with the same opponent. They have to go find somebody new. So you can't live your life on edge considering that opponent. You already beat him. The enemy might try something new in the future. And guess what? God is strong enough for that too. But in between fights, it is important for a fighter to rest. Listen, some of them have broken eyes, broken ribs. After that fight, they have to go to the hospital and they got to be restored and they have to go through physical therapy and they have to go through so much because they need to be restored mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically before they're put back in the ring. God is aware of that. God has carved out seasons of restoration, seasons of rest, seasons of clarity. God is not, there is nothing spiritual or anointed about you being a survivor. Y'all hear that in songs, you know, and stuff like that. I'm a survivor. Like, ain't no gospel in that. Being a survivor. No, you're a winner. You're victorious. That's what it is. You didn't survive. You won. And you're not living your life as a survivor. You're living your life as a thriver. And you win and you thrive even in the seasons that are hard and even in the seasons that you don't like. And if that's the case, then when it's time to rest, man, enjoy. Enjoy when it's hard. Absolutely. I'll appreciate it all day. Like you don't get to rob the joy in my life. No. But enjoy in your seasons of rest. Some of you need to learn, and this is again why I recommend my sessions, and I recommend you need to learn how to walk out the process. I'm no longer living on the edge. How do I pray when I'm not afraid? How do I pray when I'm not on edge trying to survive? How do I pray? You know what I mean? So many of you, you're wanting to watch over things, but the Bible says that God watches over his word, not you. You get to experience, like there's so much that my kids can think about. Like my daughter doesn't keep her own jewelry. I keep it because she's 5 and I don't know where it would be if I let her have it right now. She's too young. And so she gets the pleasure of not having to think about taking care of anything yet. Mommy does all of that for her. Daddy does all of that for her. She gets to just be 5 and live blissfully unaware. There's some things that God's ready for you to be blissful about because you have accepted that you have a keeper. You have accepted that you have a good father. You have accepted that you have a maintenance man. Okay. You have accepted that you have someone that takes care of those things and you partner with him, but he does the heavy lifting. Understand the seasons of war and seasons of rest. And when it's a season of rest, find refuge in the presence of God. Go away. Some of you get off of social media, take a break and just get back. Like to reclaim your refuge place. Like, man, I have a safe place. You need to be reacclimating in the reality that God is a safe place, that he is a strong tower, that he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Get off of guard. There's some things that can't be taken from you. And if you believe that, then you would live your life differently. My next point is you have to get yourself wrapped up in some intentional enjoyment. Intentional enjoyment is big in war seasons, but it's also big in rest seasons. Intentional enjoyment, just doing things you like. If you like hot baths, like me, hot baths, your favorite food, your favorite movie, laughing with your family, intentional enjoyment. I carve this out for the pure purpose of just enjoying it. I just like this. I don't need to understand it. I don't need to unexplain it. I just enjoy this. Intentional enjoyment. And my last one here is that you have to learn, let the Holy Spirit teach you and empower you how to shake off the stain of the past. So many of you have let the past decide what your future is going to look like. Yeah, the season is over. Maybe the enemy can't even try you like that in that place ever again. But you have let it stain your future. And God wants to deep clean that thing and remove the stain to where it is a new life. You ever met someone and they tell you that they used to do drugs or they used to be in prostitution or they used to be whatever, and it's so hard to believe? Because that's because they don't look like it, but nothing about them screams that. I tell people stories about my past all the time and they're flabbergasted. And that means God did a good job in the washing department because he is the only one that can make me clean without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. That's what God wants to do with you. He wants it to be where you look at your current life and you can't even see that you've ever experienced anything in this area. He wants to cleanse the stain off of you, the stain off of that past season, the stain. Listen, he wants to make all things new. You had the storm so that you could live a new life. That's the thing you don't realize. Like if God allowed something, it's because yes, it was hard, but it was going to do something in you that was going to change you for the rest of your life for the better. That was going to bring you into a deeper revelation of love, intimacy, and care. And that was going to advance the kingdom of God and give him glory. So that storm served its purpose. That rain watered all the plants it was supposed to water. Now you get to function like the storm never happened. I'm not saying don't take the lesson and the revelation that you're supposed to take from that storm, but you don't live your life. Like my last podcast episode, if you listen to it, I shared a testimony of being emotionally abused in a previous relationship. You would never know by looking at my marriage that I ever had that experience, because God fully restored me. There's no stain of him in my marriage. There's no stain of him on me. Only that's God's agenda. That's his goal. I'm not out here nervous to love my husband or waiting for him to become abusive. No. I've been fully cleansed. So you have to say, I encourage you, go to God. Lord, I decree and declare that I am shaking off the stain of that past season. And Lord, I ask that you would help me. I pray that you would show me the areas which I am doing that. And I surrender it to you. Lord, you make me new. You make me clean, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. All right, family, that's all that I have for you today. I love you guys so, so very much. Please share this with a friend. Please subscribe. Subscribe. Follow this podcast. Go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe. Go to Spotify, subscribe. And even our YouTube channel at Samantha Grimes TV. Go ahead and subscribe and follow us. Write us comments, please, your thoughts and feelings in the comment section of this on YouTube or on the podcast itself. Share this with a friend. And I look forward to talking to you guys next time. All right, family.